In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel that the church selects for us, as we know, yani God willing, on Thursday we'll celebrate the Coptic New Year, the Eid al-Nairuz. And during this last, you know, month or so, especially in the last month, the Nesi, the church reads for us many readings about the second coming, or the end of time. Of course, the reason why the church does this to prepare us for the day when we will meet the Lord. You know, every time there's a new year, there's a time where we review ourselves and in preparation for beginning a new life. For the church reads for us these readings in the beginning or at the end of the year to kind of let us to review ourselves and our life. However, many people, when we listen and read about what we read today, about the abomination of desolation and the earthquakes and the fire and the sun turning into, or the moon turning into blood and all these things, we look at it and we say, this is scary. Or this is something that I fear. But that's why today I want to speak about fear, facing fears. And we'll speak probably about different types of fears and how we can face them. But first, I'd like to say that fears are normal. To have certain fears, this is normal and natural. Actually, there are certain fears that actually protect us. And this is something, you know, they protect us from danger. Like say, for example, if somebody is scared from getting sick, or from their sickness getting worse, they go to the doctor. If somebody is fears losing his job, they're going to listen to their boss regardless of what they tell them to do, or regardless of how, you know, mean they are to them. Also, a student that is scared or fears failure will study all night, you know, to make sure that he passes his exam. So fears are sometimes can protect us. It's a natural response of our body. And actually, we look at it when somebody doesn't fear in certain situations, we look and say, uh-oh, something's wrong. Or maybe we fear for them. Like maybe like if your son or daughter, you know, you find them walking on the fence one day. We would say, ya Rabbi, ya la 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 la, enzel, enzel. You know, be scared for them because what? They will fall. They maybe are like fearless at the young age and they can do anything, but we will fear for them because they don't fear. Or if we see our children having an exam, like a final exam, the next day or 2 days, and we don't find them studying, we fear for them. Please, Annie, study. You're not going to do well in your exam if you don't study, right? So if people don't fear, we fear for them. So fear is something that is that's normal. But at the same time, too much fear can be crippling. Too much fear can be crippling. Again, you'll find some students about that, like especially if it's like a big exam, like the SAT or ACT or whatever it is, like before the exam or the night before the exam, they're sweating and they can't eat and they're vomiting, and they get into the exam, and because of fear of the exam, their you know, mind gets, you know, confused and they can't answer appropriately because they're physically, you know, terrified of the exam. And actually, this is how sometimes Satan will tempt us with fear. He wants us, one, to fear things too much. He wants us to fear things so much, so we get into this preservation mode, and we just kind of ball ourselves up in the corner and not do anything. I don't want to serve, or I'm scared of speaking, so I just retract totally, and I don't serve, and I don't do anything, and I'm all by myself. I'm scared for many different things. So he wants us to be scared too much so that we back off and isolate ourselves. And he also wants us to fear things that aren't really there. So then he'll make up, you know, ideas in our mind to let us be scared of things that aren't really there or are not reality or not the truth. For this is how Satan wants to cripple us, is use this fear maybe that was naturally in us, but make it, you know, more emphasized so we are unable to be productive in our life. So where does fear come from? Where did the fear come from? Did God create us with this fear when He created us in the garden? I don't think so. I think fear came through sin. Because we don't read about Adam and Eve fearing God or fearing anybody before the fall. Actually, everything was good. They were eating with the lions and the snakes and everybody was fine, right? And then when Adam and Eve were tempted and fell, it says, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid. This was Adam saying this. So the first time we hear of somebody being afraid was after the fall. So I think fear came after the fall, or so fear came with sin. So can we say that we're going to have these fears in heaven? No, we won't have any fears in heaven. So what are some common fears and how do we deal with them? I think many people fear the unknown. The unknown. I fear the unknown. I go, you know, to a new place, or if I'm out maybe visiting a city and there are no lights on this street, I'm scared because, or I fear because I'm not familiar with the environment around me and it's dark and I can't see. You know, but at the same time, normally, even in our house, if all the lights are off, we don't fear because this is a familiar place to us. It's not something to be scared of. So we fear the unknown. And actually, Jacob did the same thing. So after Jacob's, you know, and his sons went to Egypt and they found out that Joseph was the guy in command in Egypt, Joseph said, go bring my father and bring him here. So actually, Jacob was actually scared, or he feared to go to Egypt, although he knew that his son was the person in charge. He knew like his son was like the king and he shouldn't fear anything. But because there is a little bit of unfamiliarity, he was scared. It says that even God had to comfort him. He said, I am God, the God of your fathers. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. So he says, you know, don't worry, you know, go. So sometimes we fear the unknown if we don't see it ahead of us. The same thing was for Joshua. Joshua, the whole time, he was a disciple of Moses, and he was, you know, anything Moses would do, he would go with him. He was just kind of like Moses' right-hand man. But he was never in the leadership position. And then one day, he found that Moses departed. God took his body, and he was left by himself to lead the people. So God saw that he was scared, and he feared this responsibility. But God comforted him greatly. And he said, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So he says, be strong and be of good courage. Don't be scared. I'm with you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. But he was scared in the unknown in his position. The same thing happens with us. Anytime we start a new job and that we're not familiar with, we fear, am I going to do it good? Is the manager going to be pleased with me? Am I going to, you know, keep this job? So we fear the unknown. But we have to remember at the same time that we are following a God who knows everything. Who knows everything. There's nothing hidden from God. So if this is the person or this is the being that we are following, then anywhere that we go, we know that he's, you know, arranging everything and he's in control of everything. It's kind of like, you know, I heard a nice example to explain this. They're saying, imagine if you were going like in a carpool for the first time, right? You just moved to Houston and you live over here in Cyprus and you're going to carpool to downtown or wherever it is that you work. So you get on the bus or the van, and you know the general direction in which we should be going, right? And then you get in the van, and you find the bus driver starts going a different way. And then you get into this real tight street, and it's maybe, you know, there are no houses, there are no, you know, there's nothing there, and you're like, what's going on? Where is this guy taking us? So you begin to be, you know, am I in trouble, or does this guy really know what he's doing? So you turn to the guy next to you, and you say, is this the right way? This doesn't look like the way that should take me to downtown. I don't see any buildings. I don't see anything. And he says, no, 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 don't worry. This driver always, you know, takes us this way. It's a shortcut. We avoid all the traffic and everything. So he's like, okay, great. And then what? We get rest, right? We have peace. So, yani, if the unknown path, we were given rest because somebody told us, I went down this path before and everything is going to be okay. How much more better than when God tells us, I know what I'm doing. I'm taking you down this path. Everything will be okay if as long as you're with me. So God's saying, as long as you're with me, don't fear the unknown, because as it says in the Psalms, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If we follow after him, whom shall we fear? We also fear our enemies, rightfully so, because we don't know what our enemies are plotting against us. We don't know if somebody, you know, has his eye out for me in work, what kind of thing they're going to, you know, frame me for. So we don't know what our enemies will do to us, and that's what causes in us fear. And actually, Jacob felt this way when he was going to meet his brother. You know, after he, you know, plotted and took the birthright from his brother Esau, Esau said that I'm going to kill my brother. So at this point, Jacob fled. And, you know, he went to Laban and worked there for like 21 years. And then he was leaving with his wives and his, you know, possessions. But he had to go, and he had to go and meet his brother. He had to cross the land where his brother was. So he sent, you know, some servants and said, go before me and tell Esau that I'm coming. And he gave him all of these gifts and said, your servant is coming and all this. And he was terrified. But on his, you know, way, he laid down, and Bethel put his head on a rock and had a dream, right? And he had a dream that he saw the angels ascending and descending, you know, in heaven. And this comforted him. This comforted him. Although he was scared, but God said to him, you know, I will be with you. I think on the way to meet Esau, he wrestled with God. So it says in Genesis 32, it says, the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he also is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. But we know that God comforted Jacob in this distress, and he's facing his enemies. The same thing goes for Moses. Moses, you know, he kind of had this little fear in him when the Egyptians were coming after him. So God wanted to comfort Moses, and he said, or it was said of Moses, God told him, if you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all the and all of Egypt. So he reminded Moses of what he did. If you fear, remember what God did with you before. All of us have this experience with God and how he helped us in certain situations. But in times of fear, remember those things. Remember that God had helped me in my job. God had helped me when I confronted a person that I thought, you know, was a threat to me, and everything, you know, turned out to be fine. So remember these things. And remember what St. Paul said to the Romans. If God is for us, what? Who can be against us, right? If God is for us, who can be against us? Because God is all-powerful. Who can stand up to God? However, when we look at our enemies, we should always recognize and realize that we will always have enemies in the world. We will always have enemies. The Lord said, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, you will have tribulations. You will have people that don't like you, simply because you're Christian. So he says, don't fear. And we're reminded of what St. Peter said to us as well. And he said, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. He's like, even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be scared, because you will be blessed, and all they can do is maybe hurt the body. and that's it, or put us in bad situations. But they can't threaten our relationship with God. They can't threaten our eternity. They can't do any of this. And actually, if you look at, you know, our enemies, there's never an enemy that stays our whole life. There's usually never an enemy that's a perpetual enemy, besides, of course, Satan. Also, we fear authority. We fear authority. So we fear the unknown, we fear our enemies, and we also fear authority. Again, we fear authority because maybe we feel like they have a say in my life and in my livelihood. So an employee will fear an employer. A student will fear his teacher because my grade is in their hands. And sometimes in this fear, we end up praising the authority needlessly, just to kind of kiss up to them, so to speak. So we praise them needlessly. Although we fear them, and we may not like them, but we'll say, oh yeah, this guy is perfect, and you're such a good boss, and this and that, all because what? I fear them. And this actually will lead us to sin. This will lead us to sin. We're not honest with ourselves, and we're basically saying that I fear this person more than God. I'm trusting this person more than God. I'd rather sin and get favor with this person than not sin and depend on God. But sometimes fear makes us do things that are contrary to what we would usually do. And this we saw even at the time of the Lord Christ. We read many times that the people feared to believe in Christ because of the Sanhedrin or because of the Pharisees. We read of the man born blind, right? The parents of the man born blind, when they were asked, you know, is this your son? They said, yes, we know that this is our son, but how he's made well, we don't know. Ask him, he's of age. And the Bible records for us because they feared the Jews, because the Jews had said, if anybody, you know, witnesses or says anything about Christ, they'll be kicked out of the temple. So they feared the authority and they sold the Lord Christ. So sometimes we fear the authority, but at the same time we sell Christ because we fear the authority. Even the disciples themselves, after the resurrection, they had this fear of the Jews as well, of the authorities. So they went to an upper room and hid in an upper room. And as we know, this is where Christ appeared to them and told them, do not fear, peace be with you. We have to remember, with any authority, authorities on earth are temporary. Nobody stays in power forever. Although we might think they stay in power forever, they don't. And we have to keep in mind, when we deal with people in authority, do exactly what Christ did. When Pilate came and he threatened him and said, do you not know that I have the authority to crucify you? Remember what Christ said to them? Yeah. Yes, you wouldn't. I'll read the verse, but he says, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above." So he said, "You would have no power, you would have no authority unless it was given to you from above." Maybe you don't want to tell your boss that or anybody. This might be boastful, but this is something you can say in your heart. They're not here unless God wanted them to be here. So God wanted them to be here and me to have this position, to learn something or to, you know, deal with something so I can gain a blessing. But always keep this verse in your mind. And if you ever doubt that, you know, authority is temporary, we have, you know, a real life example. We had two. One in the Bible with Pharaoh. No way the Jews thought that nothing would ever happen to Pharaoh. And how would they ever get out of Egypt? But God went to Pharaoh 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 times, and told them, let my people go, and they said no. But after the 10th time, God said, all right, your time's up. Now it's my turn to work. So he tells the people to go out, splits the sea, and all the people flee. People look and say, wow, this is amazing, this is a miracle. And they cross the other side, they turn around, they find, oh, Pharaoh's coming after us. What are we going to do? Don't worry about it. God's got it covered. He waits till they come into the sea, and he releases the water on them, and they all die. We look at what happened in Egypt, the people that were bothering the church and persecuting the Christians. How could we ever, you know, get any better? The people that hurt the church were the ones that actually, you know, are now in prisons and being tried. Would have you have thought maybe 5, 10 years ago that this would ever be possible? Absolutely not. But when God makes a decision, He can control even our enemies to serve His purpose and to glorify His people. Don't fear the authorities. We have to keep in mind as well about fearing the authorities that what St. Paul said to the Romans. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid." So all these things about fearing the authority are good and dandy for those who do what? Who do good. But if I'm a lawbreaker, then yes, you should fear. If I'm a lawbreaker, you should fear. Don't break the law and try to cheat the government or whatever and say, "I'm not going to fear the authorities," and say to the judge, you know, "If you're not, you know, if God didn't put you as a judge, you would have no power over me," and all these things when I'm the lawbreaker. So only those who do good can apply this idea of not fearing the authorities. We also fear nature. We saw in the story of Jonah, the sailors feared the seas and the winds. The same with the disciples when they're on the boat, even with the Lord Christ in the stern, they feared for their life. When they saw Christ walking on the water, they thought he was a ghost. So they feared, they thought something was coming to them, but Christ told them, "Don't fear." And in the same way, Christ tells us not to fear of nature. Remember when actually Christ went on the seas with them and he calmed the seas, and they woke him up and said, "Lord, don't you care that we are drowning?" And he said, "You know, don't fear. If you think I'm with you, you know, we just fed the 5,000. And you saw a miracle. So why are you fearing if I'm with you?" And he calmed the storm. And after he calmed the storm, they said, "Oh, who can this be? That even the wind and the sea obey him." So the wind and the sea obey him. All of nature obey him. People also fear what we read today, you know, in the beginning of the end of times, the earthquakes, the hurricanes, and all of these things. So part of the end of time are the occurrences of nature. But Christ tells us not to fear. And the early church taught this as well. You know, in the early church, they thought that the second coming of Christ was imminent, was going to happen like soon. For they would greet each other in those streets and the marketplace and say, "Maran Atha," which means like the Lord is coming or Lord come. So this was not something like they would say like, "Oh my gosh, Maran Atha, quick, go to your house." No, they didn't say that. They would do it to comfort each other with these words. "The Lord is coming. Don't worry. You have troubles? The Lord is coming." For they would do it as a type of comfort. So to the believers, to the faithful, the second coming is nothing something that would be frightening for us, but only to the unbelievers. And that's why in the creed we say we look for the resurrection of the dead and the what? And the life of the age to come. And actually the Lord chose this portion and we said, you know what, instead of just reading it, let's chant it. Let's make a hymn out of it. Let's make a song out of it, right? So that's why we take this last verse and we sing it. And we sing with all of our hearts. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the ages to come. Because this is where we will be, you know, wed to the Lord. This is where we will be rewarded for all of our labors here on earth. It's something we look forward to. So as a believer, we look forward to it and it's something that doesn't scare us. It's kind of like, you know, give you an illustration. If my father was a Navy SEAL officer, right? Navy SEAL are like the top military, you know, special ops forces, right? Very skilled at what they do. And he's being deployed, right, to a certain area to, you know, do a certain mission. As, you know, as I see my dad coming out of the house, he's wearing all of his, you know, armor, right? He's got his belt, he's got his gun, he's got all of these things. And you see just the look of him, it would be scary to the normal Joe, right? But to me, because he's dad, it's no problem. As he's leaving the house, I give him a hug and kiss, and the gun is poking me in the side, but there's no problem because this is dad, right? I hug him, and I see him off. And then, you know, he's off, you know, going to war, and then we see the news broadcast, and I see, oh, there's my dad. He's like taking this territory. He's successful in his mission. To me, what, am I scared of my dad, or am I proud of him? I'm proud of him. Yeah, go dad. You know, he's like the superhero, right? But then if my enemy on the other side is watching the same news broadcast, and this guy who's like Rambo is taking out camp after camp, right? Would they be happy like me, or would they be scared? Scared. Why? Because they're the enemy, right? So the same thing. When the Lord Christ comes to us who are his children, it's like it's great. It's a happy time. But to his enemies, this is the time, or the people that aren't in his camp, this is fear, because now the Rambo is coming, and he'll separate the wheat from the tares. And he will judge the world accordingly. So, if we love Christ, there should be no fear in terms of these end of times. And as St. John said, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. The last thing is that we sometimes fear is tomorrow. We fear what will happen tomorrow or the future. Many of us get unsettled about the future. And typically, this is something that is self-created, because none of us are prophets, as far as I know, and none of us know for certain what will happen in the future. But typically, all of our fears about tomorrow are self-created. We create them for ourselves. And that's why the Lord told us on the Sermon on the Mountain. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So he says, sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry. You know, Christ sees the burdens of today and tomorrow are too much for us to bear. So he says, you know what? Let me handle tomorrow, and you just handle today. Sufficient for the day is its own worries. Don't worry about tomorrow. And then in the same passage, in the same verse, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Leave the tomorrow to me. You just handle today. Okay, today is enough for me. And that would be it. Abuna Benjamin was telling us about his trip to Africa. His trip to Mexico. And he was telling us how the people there, you know, they would work, العمال, يعني, they would work during the day, and then they would get their money at the end of the day. But the money of this that they use to work is what they use to feed themselves that day. Imagine if every day you go to work and you get paid, you know, whatever, your $40, $50 or $20, and this is the money you will use to eat that day. And most of us, we get paid and we have enough for the whole month to eat and we're okay. But these people were working during the day to feed themselves that evening. So if they didn't work during the day, guess what? They wouldn't eat. They would be forced to fast. Them and their family. So how stressful is this? This is how it was at this time. And we know this from the parable of the workers of the 11th hour. You know, that each hour they go out to work so that they can eat in the end. But imagine the stress that would be on us. So Christ, when he's telling these people, do not worry about tomorrow, their tomorrow was much more stressful than ours. Their actually today was stressful. Am I going to work? I might wake up at 6 a.m. and go wait for somebody to hire me, and I might not get hired. So it could be stressful. Best we see with the workers the 11th hour. The people were standing around at the 9th and 11th hour, right? At 5 p.m., and they have to go home at 6 to face their family and tell them, "We don't have any. I don't have any money to buy any food." So God came, and he says, "Why are you not working? Come and work, and I will pay you." So they came, but of course, by the time they got their gear on, they had to take it off because it was time to go. But he still paid them. For we see that God is gracious. God is gracious. He will take care of us. Don't worry about tomorrow and the next day and the next year, but do our effort and focus on our responsibility that we have to do today. And tomorrow will take care of its own self. May God grant us the peace to know that He is in control. He is almighty, He is all-powerful, and He knows everything. And to trust Him with any of our fears, that He will give us rest as He promised. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.